Well, how do you build personal biblical standards? How do you do it? Well, that's what this series is going to be about. Let me tell you what it's not going to be. This series is not going to be me telling you what my standards are, so you better believe the same way. I want you to find them in the Bible. I want you to base your standards from the Bible. The Bible needs to be your foundation on how you live. One of the definitions, one of the notes we gave this morning was that the Bible is our final authority in everything we believe, and is how we believe and how we live. Sometimes you'll hear it said this, the Bible is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. The and practice part means how we live. And that's really what personal biblical standards are about. What does the Bible say about how I am supposed to live? So I might tell you what I believe, but I'm not going to force what I believe on you. We all believe probably shades differently than everybody else. And if we all had to believe just like everybody else, we'd all have to have our own church. That's probably why there's so many independent Baptist churches. But I believe what we can do is we can get into the Bible. And if I could teach you how to build your own, and there's three words we're going to talk about tonight, personal biblical standards. If I could teach you how to build your own personal biblical standards from the Bible, and then you go to the Bible, what you're going to do is you're going to have a guidebook for living, and then you're going to make that apply to your life. That is what tonight is about. And really, tonight's just an introduction. So with this introduction, let's go to Revelation chapter 4, and we will get started. How to build your own personal biblical standards. I want to lay a foundation, the why. I like the why behind something. If somebody just tells me to do something, now you got to ask this the right way. If your authority tells you to do something, you got to ask why the right way, all right? If you say, why, you know, like that, with body language that says, I'm defiant, that's disrespectful. But to know the reason why is a good thing. And, you know, sometimes as parents, we will say something like, well, because I said. And sometimes that needs to be the only reason somebody obeys, just because you're the authority. But sometimes, and at a certain point, there needs to be the why behind it. There needs to be the, here's why I believe what I believe. So let's start with some why. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11. I've got more than we can fit into tonight's message, so if you listen quickly, I'll try to speak quickly and I'll try to get through as much of it as we can. All right, look at this verse, Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. The 24 elders around the throne, they're in heaven, they're worshiping Jesus Christ, and they're saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. Why were we created? And for thy pleasure, they are and were created. Why am I here? Why was I created? What is my purpose in life? What's your purpose in life? You have been created. You were created for this reason, to please God. Every one of us. We are all created to please God. That's our purpose in life. A lot of times we talk about standards and we think, what do I have to do? What are the rules that I have to keep? Well, that's not the way we need to think. The way we need to think is, what do I need to do to please God? What can I possibly do to please God? Remember our missionary to China? And I keep, Brother Waltz was his name. We get to, how many of you remember him preaching? We get to serve God. Oh, that's just a great picture for me. I don't think I'll ever forget. We get to serve God. And that's what we're talking about. God created us to please Him. I love the verse, for thy pleasure they are and were created. Let's look at a few more verses. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. First of all, you need to understand, this is why we're created. We were created to please God. We have so many other things going on in our life that we get busy doing those other things. But let's just go back to this tonight. The reason we are here is to please God. That's what my life ought to be all about. That's what my decisions ought to be all about. When I'm making a decision, really the determiner is probably not a word. The thing that ought to make my decision for me is, does this please God or does this not please God? That ought to be the first question. Now, if it's two different things, I'm trying to make a decision of both of them please God, right? Am I going to have tamales for dinner or am I going to have tacos for dinner? I know both of those please God. So sometimes it's just a decision between two things. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's, do I do this that pleases God or I do this that does not please God? That ought to be our very first question. If it doesn't please God, we ought not to do it. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No man that warreth, as somebody who fights in a war, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Can you picture a soldier? And he's going out to battle, but he's all tangled up with all the things around him. He's going out to battle. Some of you here, military folks, some of you have got some military training. I don't. All right, so if I say something stupid, just ignore me, okay? Because those of you that understand this, if you're going to go out to battle, you can't take a whole bunch of extra stuff with you. You can't take your big screen TV with you to battle if you're and carry it in your backpack. And you can't carry the extra large, I don't know why anybody would want that, but the extra large size, I don't know, you got sardines, whatever you take with you to battle. You can't be tangled. And you can't be tangled up with things back home. You've got, when you go to battle, you can't be entangled with the affairs of this life that are gonna keep you from fighting the battle. And the Bible says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Our goal should be to please God. We've got to keep ourselves free from the entanglements of this life. And a lot of what we're going to talk about is, how can I keep myself free of the entanglements of this life? There's a lot of entanglements in this life. Relationships. There's if you're a teenager, let me tell you, one of the biggest entanglements is going to be dating before you're old enough to date. Now, I know what you're saying. I'm old enough to date. I'm 13. I'm almost to date. I'm 8. I'm old enough to date. One of the biggest entanglements in this life is going to be relationships before it's time for relationships. One of the big entanglements of this life, okay, debt can be a big entanglement in this life. So, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. We must keep ourselves free of those entanglements. The reason to keep ourselves free from the entanglements of this life is to please God. That's really the reason. I want to please God, why? Because He created me to please Him. I want to please God because He chose me to serve Him. Did you see that? That He may please Him who hath chosen Him to be a soldier. You're chosen. You're a special person. God has a plan for you and He's chosen you. And He's got a big plan for your life. So don't get tangled in with all the things of this world. Why? So I can please Him. I want to please the One who chose me to be a soldier. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, if you would. I'm giving you some introduction. I want to give you some foundation. When we talk about standards, sometimes we get the idea we're talking about this list of rules that I can and cannot do. And sometimes it is rules that we can and cannot do. But if we don't understand the why behind it, why would I even care? Well, I want to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. The word translated doesn't mean He turned him from like English to Spanish. That's what happened at the Tower of Babel, right? God translated those people. Different kind of translation. So this translation means he was alive on the earth, and God translated him. God teleported him or something like that. God took him. He was alive on the earth, and God took him alive to be with Him. He translated him. He didn't die. God just took him. But why did that happen? Because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony. What was Enoch's testimony? That he pleased God. Wow. Enoch pleased God to the point where God said, I am so pleased with this man. He's never going to have to die. I want him to, I don't know if never is the right word. He doesn't have to die at this point. Maybe he's one of the two witnesses. I don't know. Maybe he could be. All right. He doesn't have to die. He's going to come. He's going to be with me because I am pleased with him. But I want you to look at the next verse. Look at verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So I want to please God, but I can't do it without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Our personal biblical standards must have their foundation in faith, or they will not please God. Standards alone don't please God. God is pleased by a heart of faith in God that desires to please him. What is it that's going to please God? Well, Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. A set of rules in somebody's life doesn't please God. A heart that wants to please God, a heart with a desire to please God, so that we bring some rules into our life to protect us from sin, so that we put guidelines in our life so that we can please God. That's what pleases God. Our standard can be right, but our heart can be wrong. This is very, very important. Do you realize that personal biblical standards, I'm going to come back to this later, but personal biblical standards really isn't so much about what happens on the outside. Now, it goes there, but personal biblical standards is about the heart. It starts in our heart. And if we have a heart that, listen, if you get this, you got it. If we have a heart that desires to please God, then we will live in such a way where the rubber meets the road, where real life actually happens. If we have a heart that desires to please God, then we will live a life as we are taught and as we are instructed and as we learn, we will live a life to the best of our ability that will please God. Real life, all right? That's personal biblical standards. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse number 1. You ever heard? There's a couple words in the Bible that talk about the way we live. One of those words is conversation. Now, when we talk about conversation, a lot of times we're talking about me talking to you. Our conversation. What was the conversation about? We're talking about the dialogue that we have between each other. But in the Bible, that can also talk about the way we live. There's another word in the Bible, in this verse, that talks about the same type of a thing, about the way we live. It's not the word conversation, but it's the word walk. All right. When we think of walking, we think of putting one step in front of the other and trying not to fall down. When the Bible's talking about walking in this verse, it's talking about the way that we live. All right, so 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk, or how you're supposed to live, how you ought to walk and to please God. Look at this. So ye would abound more and more. So walk here means how we live. It means real life. So Paul's writing to these people in Thessalonica, and he says, listen, we taught you, you received from us how you're supposed to live. What is that? How you're supposed to live, that's real life. That is the everyday life. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the everyday details how I live. That's my walk. So Paul said, you received from us how you ought to live. But he goes on, and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. We ought to abound more and more in the way we walk and please God. Let me say it another way. We ought to become more and more pleasing to God over time. Let me just think about that. It is logical. If I get saved out of a life of sin and I start reading my Bible and I start growing as a Christian, I can gradually start pleasing God with my life more and more. And the Apostle Paul says, listen, as you grow as a Christian, you ought to abound in your walk, pleasing God more and more. We all ought to keep growing so that through our lives, we are pleasing God more and more. This is the way it works. We grow a little bit and we say, yes, I'm pleasing God. Now, understand this. We all understand we're sinners. And we never get to a point where God just looks at us and says, wow, you're just amazing. I am so impressed with you. No, the Apostle Paul said, I have not attained. We have not attained. We're not going to get to that point to where sinless perfection in this life. But this is what we do as humans. We grow a little bit. We beat a temptation or something. We beat an addiction. We get past that. We say, wow, I did it. I'm pleasing God in this area. And sometimes we get to the point where we think, wow, I'm there. No, don't ever get to to where you think you're there. I love Google, Google Maps, because when you get to the place where you're supposed to be going, it always says, you have arrived. And I'm thinking, yes, I've been trying all my life. And that's not what it's talking about. We don't really arrive. So we get to that point, we've grown, and we feel like we've arrived, and then we read our Bible, God shows us another area. And then we struggle with it, and we grow. Or we rebel against God, one of the two. And then we get there, and then we think, I'm doing good. And then he shows us something else. And every time we grow, listen, there's always something else, another area where we can grow so that we can abound more and more as we walk and as we please God. Can you find Galatians chapter 1? Galatians chapter 1. We'll tie all this in together. It's just kind of a foundation. I like foundations. My wife and I, we started dating. And were we on the boat ride? Is that where we were? We were on the Chicago boat ride. And I was waxing elephants. That's what Brother Reed would say. I waxed eloquent. And I was talking about foundations and how important. Well, here's what I was trying to do. I was trying to explain to my wife, my future, hopefully future wife, this girl that we just started dating, I really want a relationship with you, but we have to go slow. So I started talking about foundations. You know those foundations? She put up with this. I just can't believe it. They dig so deep into the ground and these big buildings. And she's like, come on, just grow up and let's have a date here. These buildings, they have to dig so deep into the ground. It takes forever before you ever even see any building getting built. But after the building gets built, sometimes the building goes up kind of fast. But you got to be patient and wait for the foundation to get built. All right? And she just kind of, you know, I'm with you. She was way ahead of me, really. We're laying some foundation here, right? Are you there? Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Galatians 1, 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So let me ask you a couple questions. Why were we created? To please God. All right? Now in this verse, it says, do I please God or men? Who am I pleased? Do I persuade God or men? Or do I seek to please men? Who am I pleasing? What is my purpose in life? Am I living in such a way that I please God, or am I living in such a way that I please people? What's my goal? You know, a lot of times as Christians, we'll make some rules for ourselves, we'll develop some standards. And these guidelines, these standards we make for ourselves, sometimes they're not to please God. Sometimes they're to please people. And what I want to show you here is that that's not the right way to do it. Our purpose in life is not to please men. If we live to please men, the Bible says we're not the servants of Christ. It's pretty plain right here. That's not our purpose. My purpose is to please God. So I want to go to the Bible, find out what it is that's going to please God, and do it. It's really that simple. Our personal biblical standards should not be to please people, but to please God. Now, I ought to please people who are an authority in my life out of a heart of obedience. If you're a kid here tonight and you heard this, you said, I don't have to please people. That means I don't have to please my mom and my dad. Well, no, our authority we need to please because the Bible said to obey our authority. All right, so then, and we'll talk about that just briefly. I do need to please the people out of a heart of obedience that are in authority over me, but I do not need to please people who do not have authority over me. Pleasing God is my ultimate goal. And if I can obey my parents whenever I'm a child, I obey my parents, that pleases God. If an authority in my life contradicts God's authority in my life, then I must obey the higher authority. I must obey God. And I'll give you this example. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They had the option. Do I please Nebuchadnezzar or do I please God? Now, pleasing Nebuchadnezzar would have saved their lives. You know, we could be telling the same story, except we could be saying Nebuchadnezzar threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, and that was the end of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if that was the story, they would have still done the right thing because they pleased God rather than please the authority that stepped out of line. But that's not the way it worked. You know the story? They said, we're not going to be careful to answer you in this matter. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, fine, we'll heat the furnace 7 times hotter. He gets the guards to throw them in. The furnace was so hot that the guards that threw them into the furnace died because of the heat. They were thrown in, and by the time they hit the ground, well, the Bible doesn't give us the exact timeline, but they were tied up. Nebuchadnezzar looked down there, and he saw four men walking about in the fire. And he said the fourth one's like the Son of God. And they were fine. They came out, they didn't smell like smoke or anything like that. What happened? They chose to please God rather than please an authority that stepped out of line. Our goal is to please God. Look at another verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You probably have part of this one memorized, maybe even more than part of it. 1 Corinthians 10, and look at verse number 31. Our purpose is to please God. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Here it is. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Now, this is an interesting verse. He says, everything you do, do all to the glory of God. And then he goes on and talks about how he's pleasing all men. Do everything for God's glory, even eating and drinking. And some people say, well, you know, the Bible, just you can't apply it to everything in your life. Well, the Bible says even in our eating and drinking, we ought to glorify God. So everything in our life ought to please God. If I can please other people, he said, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved. If I can please other people while glorifying God, then I can please other people. But if pleasing people does not glorify God, then I must choose to glorify God instead. And the example here is Daniel. The Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. He couldn't please the king and please God, so he chose to please God, and God worked all of that out. Now, what's a standard? A standard in the Bible was a flag that identified a certain tribe or nationality of people. It's pretty simple. We have a standard, raise the standard high. You hear songs like that. The standard of the United States of America would be, where's our flag? So they didn't get back out after the Christmas program. We do have flags, right? Would be the flag of the United States of America, right? It's our standard. There goes that really good illustration, right? Numbers 152. You don't have to turn there. Numbers 152, and here's the way the Bible uses the word standard. And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp, and every man by his own standard throughout their host. So the way the Bible uses the word standard is going to be a different way than our modern English uses that word standard. Probably the best way of saying that. I'll help tie that all together. So the Bible talks about this standard. It was a flag. It identified this certain tribe. It identified a nationality. And yes, our standards can identify us, but we're really not talking about a flag. We're not talking about an identifier. What we're talking about is a set of guidelines, a rule. The word standard has been adapted to mean a rule or measure. Let me say it again, measure that others are adjusted to match, all right? Let me give you some examples. A standard could mean a level of quality, all right? So if there's a lot of ways to use the word standard. I just want you to understand so that we're on the same page. We're talking about this, a level of quality. If I was to say this, many of us would agree with this. Chick-fil-A sets the standard in fast food customer service. I love Chick-fil-A's customer service. I love the, what is, now my mind just went blank. My pleasure, isn't that what they said? That would be my pleasure. It's my pleasure. If you go to Chick-fil-A, then I know the obvious contrast would be going to Subway. And I mean, just the difference in customer service that you might get. And I know some people have gotten bad customer service at Chick-fil-A, but they set the standard. It's a level of quality that everybody else tries to attain to. The word standard could mean a physical measurement, right? Have you ever heard of standard weights and measures, right? Standard weights and measures. How many of you work with something where you need standard weights and measures on a regular basis, right? All right, let me give you an example of this. Standard weights and measures are so important that the drafters of the U.S. Constitution gave Congress the power in Article 1, Section 8, to fix the standard of weights and measures. It's in the Constitution to fix the standard of weights and measures. What's the standard? When it comes to weights and measures, there's some rules that don't change. And it's a good thing. Let me give you an example. 1 gallon equals 4 quarts, all right? I don't remember how many cups and pints and all that stuff, but let's just deal with quarts. 1 gallon equals 4 quarts. And it always equals 4 quarts. If sometimes a gallon was 3 quarts and other times a gallon was 5 quarts, selling a gallon of milk would be really confusing because nobody would know really how much was there. How big do you make the container? Well, just kind of make it as kind of as big as you want. Like, go to a third world country, and that's just kind of how, just here, take this much. How much do I pay? Well, this much. There's a standard weight and measure. 1 gallon, 4 quarts. It doesn't change. There needs to be a standard, a rule that defines what a gallon is. Do you know rules aren't always bad? A rule can be a something that defines something else. So in this case, a rule defining 4 quarts is a gallon. This rule is a good thing. It helps us to know what we're talking about. It helps us to have this standard of weights and measures. You know, a standard could mean a set of rules to determine how a process is going to be completed. Okay, so I know this is introduction, it's kind of foundation this evening, but go with me on this one. Some of you at your work use something called standard operating procedures. Some of you used, how many of you at work, you have some standard operating procedures? All right, a lot of us. A standard operating procedure, probably more of us really than that even, we just don't realize it. A standard operating procedure is a set of step-by-step instructions compiled by an organization to help workers carry out complex routine operations. Right? Something that happens the same way every time. That way, if somebody else comes in to do the same job, they still do it the same way every time. McDonald's is famous for this. There's standard operating procedures. You can have, and this is what made McDonald's really so successful. You can have really anybody come in, give them the minimum amount of training, and they can do what anybody else at McDonald's can do because of the standard operating procedure. Everybody just, you do it the same way. So what is it? It's a set of rules. It's the rules. You do this, then you do this, then you do this, and you end up with this final project. So the standard operating procedures, the goal is to achieve efficiency, quality output, and uniformity of performance. Now listen, while reducing miscommunication and failure to comply with industry regulations. Wow, that was a mouthful, but let me sum it up in this. Standards help people keep the rules, right? If there are no standards, if there are no operating procedures, there's no guidelines on how to do it. If you're making, okay, we're manufacturing airplanes, right? You know, big airplanes, hundreds of people are going to fly in. And there's no guidelines, there's no rules, there's no regulations. We just make it however we want to. Couple wings, you know, a little bit of extra scotch tape here and there, and we're good. Well, no, I want some regulations. I want some kind of standard operating procedures on how this is built and how this is inspected and how it's taken care of. That's standards. Now, for our purpose, as I'm teaching how to build your own personal biblical standards, standards are rules we make for ourselves to help us please God with our lives. Our purpose is to please God. So, I want to make some guidelines, some rules for myself so that I can please God. If I just do everything everybody else around me is doing, I'm probably not going to please God. Have you seen what everybody else is doing out there? I don't think I'm going to please God if I just do what everybody else is doing. So I need to make some guidelines, some standards. Don't be afraid of the word. A standard is a set of guidelines. It's rules I make for myself. That's the personal part, personal biblical standards. We're going to go through and define that. I'll probably have to wait for next week because we're running out of time. Personal means it's mine. It applies to me. Biblical means it comes from the Bible. There's a lot of other places standards can come from, but it's got to come from the Bible. Personal, biblical, and standards just means these are the rules that I'm putting in place in my life so that I can please God. You're a free agent. Did you know that? Some of you sports people, and you know this person's a free agent, this person's a free agent. You're a free agent. Do you feel the freedom? I mean, a free moral agent. You can do whatever you want. I mean, really, you can. You've got this free will. You can do whatever you want to do with your life. Now, the Bible is loaded with commands and principles to help you live your life to please God. It is. Aren't you glad God gave us the Bible with principles and commands to help us to please Him? If He told us to please Him and didn't tell us how to do it, oh, that would be so very frustrating. But He gave us the Bible loaded with these principles, loaded with commands. But you're a free agent. You can ignore the Bible or implement the Bible into your life. You can do it however you want to. You can make rules for yourself to help you get the most out of the one chance you have to live a life for God. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage every person to make a set of rules for themselves. Now, the thing about personal biblical standards is you're not making a set of rules for everybody else. If your mom or dad make the rules for your family, yes, for the kids, that's fine. Teach them why. Teach them from the Bible why. And you know this, whenever a person becomes an adult, they have to make those decisions for themselves. But personal biblical standards aren't so that you can make a set of rules and then look at other people coming in the back door of the church and say, hi, you're not keeping the rules, and be what the world would call judgmental towards them. That's not the reason for standards. Personal biblical standards is so that I can make guidelines for my life so that I can please God. Personal biblical standards are like a budget. Okay, now you don't like me. A budget. Let's talk about a budget just for a minute. Budgets are actually really good. Budgets are good things, but they're so much like personal biblical standards. They really are. Look, in a budget, if you're making a budget for yourself, who makes the rules? You do, right? If I'm making a personal budget for me, I make the rules. I tell myself, here's how much money I make. That's a fact. So this is how much I'm going to spend. I make the rules. That's the way a budget works. So I know I'm going to make this much money this month, so I'm going to spend this much on the house, this much on the food, this much on the car, and I'm making rules for myself. If I've got extra money, this is how much I'm going to put into savings, this is how much I'm going to spend at Starbucks, and I'm making rules. And listen, so long as it's in my rules, it's okay. I make the budget, and I just got to make the budget, and then I just got to keep the rules. You know, that's really very similar to what we're talking about here. The difference is personal biblical standards. I want to please God in a budget. I don't want to go broke. Personal biblical standards, I want to please God. So I don't look at how much money I'm making so that I know how much to spend. I want to please God. So I look at what God says in His Word, and I look at this is what God says is going to please Him. So now I'm going to make some personal guidelines for me. I'm going to make some rules for me so that I know what I'm going to do in this situation. I know what I'm going to do in this situation. And as I make these personal guidelines for me, what am I doing? I'm building my own personal biblical standards. I don't want you to be afraid of those words. Some people say, oh, those independent Baptists are all about standards. Well, no, I'm all about pleasing God. And if I can put some guidelines in my life to help me please God, that's a good thing. I'm not going to try to force somebody else to please God. I'll try to teach people. That's what I'm doing tonight. And that's what we're going to do over the next several weeks. I want to teach you. But what I want you to do is I want you to learn how to build personal biblical standards and get into the Word of God and build some guidelines for yourself. Now, I'm going to give you some examples. And we're going to go through. And I'm going to teach you what the Bible says about some issues and then give you the opportunity to build some standards for yourself. What the Bible teaches doesn't change. That's settled. We learned that this morning. It's been settled forever. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's there. The Bible doesn't change. So I need to get into the Word of God. What pleases God? How can I please God with my life? And then develop some guidelines for myself. Parents, I want to challenge you to develop some guidelines for yourself and some guidelines for your family. Well, There's so much, and again, I'm out of time for this evening, but you could just start thinking about this. Every area of life, I don't want to just do it on my own. I want God's direction. I don't want to wing it. I don't want to go blind. I want to do it the way God wants me to do it, because really, I want to please God. That's it. That's in a nutshell. I hope that you will just, with an open heart, be willing to get into the Bible and say, God, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. If it pleases you, I'll do it. If it pleases you for me not to do it, then I won't do it. And just help me. And ask Him. Ask Him. That's really what this invitation is going to be about tonight. God, would you help me to build personal biblical standards? Father, thank you for letting me be able to share this tonight. Lord, we want to please you. Our greatest purpose in life is to please you. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to dig into your word and find out from your word what it would be to please you in different areas of life. Lord, we're starting a brand new year. We get an opportunity to have a fresh start in so many ways. Lord, I pray that you would just give us a soft heart and help us to make a decision that if you want us to do it, we'll do it. If you don't want us to do it, we won't do it. And Lord, I just pray that you give us a heart that wants to please you. Give us the faith to live life the way you want us to so that we can please you, because without faith, it's impossible to please you.